You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. If you've been putting off changing your web browser, you might want to listen to what Wharton School of Business professor Adam Grant has to say in his book Originals, How Nonconformists Move the World. Or maybe you want to put it off and just think about it for a while. Adam, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thanks, Steve. Thrilled to be here.
Let's start just generally. You've written before, but where is it, this idea of sort of the original or the original mind? Where did it come from, the idea to write this book?
Well, I've been working with leaders for years who are asking, how do I fight groupthink? How do I get access to new ideas? And at the same time, students are frequently wondering, if I'm not the boss in my organization, how do I speak up with a suggestion and get heard? And I realize those are two sides of the same coin, and we need to understand it better.
We tend to think of originals as fearless, of having great conviction of their ideas and, you know, everyone else be damned. But you're right, that's not really the case.
No, in fact, most of the original people in the world, the nonconformists who have driven creativity and change, were terrified, just like the rest of us are. But they were even more afraid of failing to try than they were of failing.
So did they know how to harness them? I mean, did they use their fear to their advantage?
A lot of them did. So one of my favorite examples was I had a fascinating conversation with Elon Musk. And I wanted to know, look, you did payments. How did you then have the courage to say, I'm going to run Tesla and I'm going to build rockets?
Right.
And he said, I was sure that Tesla was not going to succeed and that our first few launches at SpaceX would knock it off the ground. And he said, but it was too important not to try. And what he was constantly worrying about was, we know there are two kinds of regrets you can have. You can regret your actions or you can regret your inactions. And in the moment, what most of us worry about is like, we're going to embarrass ourselves if we do something stupid.
Actions.
Exactly.
Right.
But in the long run, our biggest regrets are our inactions, the chances we didn't take. And I think that Elon and lots of other originals that I worked with and studied had this same strategy, that they would just remind themselves that if they didn't try, then they would always wonder what might have been.
So are there people out there with brilliant, wonderful ideas from whom we'll never benefit because they're afraid to try?
Yeah, I think actually the majority, right? Uh-huh. So if you look at the data across industries, when you ask people about their best idea or their most important suggestion, 85% of them never spoke up.
And that's just out of fear.
Part of it is fear, right? They don't want to look stupid. Part of it is also futility. They think, even if I'm not going to be punished, nobody's really going to hear this idea. It's going to fall on deaf ears.
Another thing you write about is that originals, we tend to think of maybe as radicals, but they need to be tempered radicals, not altogether radical. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so the basic idea is the more original your idea is, the harder it is for other people to understand it. And so sometimes you have to smuggle it in a little bit of a Trojan horse.
You have to give a little bit in order to take more?
That would be one way to put it. I think that very frequently what it means is you take your idea and you may have this grand vision for where it's going, but you unfold only a little piece of it so other people don't think you're insane.
All right, let's go to the web browsers now, because you write that you can tell about someone about their destiny to be original or tendency to be original by the web browser they use. Everyone's checking right now to see what web browser they use. Tell me about that.
Yeah, if you don't know, you should ask Jeeves. A lot of people don't like the results of this study, but this economist, Michael Hausman, has shown that people who use Chrome and Firefox have better job performance and stay 15% longer in their jobs on average than Safari and Internet Explorer users.
And the reason for that is?
Well, it's not a technical advantage, which most people think. It's about how you got the browser. If you use Internet Explorer or Safari, those came pre-installed on your computer, and you just accepted the default option that was handed to you. If you're a Chrome or Firefox user, you are more likely to wonder, is there a different browser out there? And then take a little initiative to get it.
Yeah, I wonder about that because I use Firefox.
Well, that's a good choice for today, at least.
But I think it was recommended to me. I didn't discover it. I mean, it wasn't an original action on my part to choose Firefox. Someone said, you got to do this.
And here I thought you were an original.
It's over.
Very
man.
Disappointing.
I'm sure that you are, just like millions of others. But, I mean, how about that?
Yeah, that happened. So I actually think that this is why it's a conservative test, that, we have lots of people in the data who have gotten the browser in many different ways, and it might be an even stronger effect if we knew how you got it.
All right, how about the people who are listening right now who are Safari-bound and are saying, well, I just listened to Adam Grant. I'm going to switch to Firefox.
It's not going to make you better at your job.
Is it going to make you more original?
No, it's about having the instinct to ask, is there a different option out there? And you want to apply that to other realms of your job.
I guess I'm getting to the fact, though, that it's if you're unoriginal, you're not destined to never be original.
Yeah, I think a lot of people believe that originality is a fixed trait that belongs to the Steve Jobs class of people, and the rest of us, we're not like them. But I don't think it's a fixed trait at all. It's a free choice.
How does one develop originality?
Well, the easiest way is to just increase the number of ideas you generate. What happens is a lot of people just fall in love with their first idea or two, but the best way to be original is to have variety, and the easiest path to variety is volume.
Okay, that implies that I have control over the ideas I'm originating.
You do.
Tell me how I do.
You may not be aware of it, but you
right.
do.
Can I foster more then?
Yeah. So there's a great, actually, series of experiments done at Northwestern recently where people are given 10 minutes to brainstorm about new ideas. And most people come up with 10 ideas in that period, maybe 15. And then they just say, I'm out of steam.
Right.
No
right.
more ideas. Researchers give them a little nudge. And they say, you know, you've got a few more minutes. Why don't you see if you can come up with anything more? Average person more than doubles output, 20 more ideas. And that second set of 20 ideas is more original than the first 15.
So it's just a mental exercise. It's almost like a calisthenic that you need to do.
It is. The moment you feel like you've run out of ideas is the moment when you're ready to be original. Because the first ideas are usually the most conventional.
That goes to the procrastination then that I mentioned at the beginning, right? Get the job done. You got something on your task list. Get it done. Get it over with. Move on to the next idea. You're right. That's not a good idea all the time. And your great examples. I mean, it's Gettysburg Address or I Have a Dream speech. You know, those things, they festered for a while. They weren't done and put away. Procrastination is good.
I'll tell you about it later.
No. Very good.
I was really
in part two of the interview.
Exactly. Maybe in a few years. I was surprised. I had a former student who, you know, really was convinced that she had her best ideas when she was procrastinating. And she ended up going into a bunch of companies and studying this and finding that people who sometimes procrastinated were more creative than people who didn't. And I wanted to know what happened to the chronic procrastinators. Uh-huh. And she's like, I don't know. They didn't fill out my survey.
Really? The idea, though, you write this, I believe, and you talk to a lot of novelists, a lot of writers, and they say they like to give themselves a gift for the next day's writing. So they won't conclude a passage so that when they sit down the next day, you know, they don't start cold. They have something to continue doing. And I think you sort of did that, too, when you wrote this book, right? You left yourself time to fester on the thought.
It was painful. Agony.
Really?
Yeah, because normally when I sit down, I like to complete a thought. But having seen how when you procrastinate, it lets you incubate, it allows for divergent thinking, I thought, all right, I'm going to stop in mid-sentence, and then I've got somewhere to pick up where I left off.
I mean, did you ever think, okay, I'm going to stop in the middle of the next sentence because this was
yes.
going pretty well?
Many sentences got written that right. way. But then when I finally did stop and I came back to it, I had all sorts of new ideas. And Reb Rebele, a great applied positive psychology expert, has a nice way of thinking about this. He says, look, to be original, you want to be quick to start but slow to finish. You dive in early, but then you give yourself a little bit of extra runway to let new ideas come in.
It's true, isn't it? I mean, the idea of procrastinating really, you know, fester is a good word for me because I'm thinking, I got to do it. But while I'm thinking that, it's brewing in my mind.
Yeah, and it's bad if, you know, you're procrastinating just out of avoidance. You're like, nah, I don't want to work on that task. But I think healthy procrastination is saying, this problem is hard. I haven't figured it out yet. And maybe if I give it time to germinate, I'll have more original ideas.
Todd Rose's book, recent book, Beyond Average, you aware of it?
Right? I am. I wrote one of the blurbs
on it.
Yeah, it's a great book.
So one of the things that he said that struck me is that not many geniuses are PhDs because it takes sort of a divergence of interests, and PhDs are specialized. And you seem to write the same thing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that, you know, a couple of guys with university jobs would make right. that point because right. it goes against interest.
Well, I should point out you're doing needlepoint now as we talk, so you're...
I'm so glad you revealed that to the audience. No, I was struck. I always assumed that the deepest experts would be the most original, but it's not those people. It's the people with the broadest experience because they're able to look at old problems in a new way.
And so let's go then to the C-suite or to the manager's office, to the hiring people when they want originals, right? How do they recognize originals?
Multifunctional and multicultural experience are two great predictors.
Okay.
So if somebody has not just been in marketing but also in finance, you're going to get more lenses to, you know, to use as you solve different kinds of problems. You can also look at whether people have a lot of bad ideas. If you take seriously the idea that quantity of ideas is good for ultimate quality, then the more bad ideas somebody has, the better their chance of stumbling on a good one.
There was a Michael Keaton movie from the 80s, maybe, was it with Henry Winkler? I'm an idea man, Chuck. You remember that line?
I do. Which is a code for, I don't have to do any work.
I'm an idea man, Chuck. But what I remember was that he had a lot of really bad ideas, bad character. But you're saying that really could be a sign of something good.
It could, because you know the greatest originals, whether it's in business or art or any realm, what we see is they didn't have better ideas than their peers. They just had more of them.
Adam Grant is the writer, the author of the book Originals, How Nonconformists Moved the World. I knew we'd cover a lot of topics. I did not think Michael Keaton or Henry Winkler would come up.
Well done.
It's nice to meet you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN.